On this special episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, we visit the Fall Conference of the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers, review highlights of the conference, and interview association leadership to discuss the activities of the association and issues facing ASCs in New York State.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a bi-weekly podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers, the voice of freestanding ASCs in the state of New York. For membership information, please visit www.nysaasc.org. Welcome to episode 40 of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey for Monday, October 22nd, 2018. We're recording from our studio in Rochester, New York, with remote recordings from the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers Fall Conference at the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City on October 11th, 2018. This is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with AHS. I'm here with John Gailey. John is one of the leading experts in all aspects of the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry, and he's the author of over 10 books about the ASC industry. John is a nationally known speaker and the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. So we had a great time at the conference.
We did, and it was a couple of weeks ago. We're recording a little bit late here since we've been kind of busy with the regular episodes, but thank you for your patience, everyone, that is waiting for this episode. So New York State Association asked us to come in and do a special podcast there. So we're going to talk a little bit about the various speakers at the conference. And then we did four interviews there, which we'll also include here with the State Association leadership to talk about what the association has been up to over the last year. So the conference is very limited because it was one day. So there were not a lot of speakers, but we did fit a lot in that short period of time. So we just want to go over a couple of the different sessions that were held. Mm-hmm. The first one that we attended was Gary Flums, which Gary is a medical record consultant, does quite a bit of work here in New York City. I work with him quite a bit with our clients. And he talked about common medical record issues. Now, Sue, I think you attended that session.
Yep, and he had a lot of good information. He was stressing that the surgeon should document indications for surgery. That's one that sometimes we don't see as frequently as we should, or it's right. Not done quite correctly.
And it's a New York State item, too, that's much more specific in New York State than federally. So that's why if you're in New York State, you need to have some specific indications for surgery.
Okay, and he mentioned having the allergy and the reaction in the medical record. Of course, you know, people know that, but his point was making sure it's consistent throughout the chart. You may have several different areas in the chart where maybe something hasn't been updated or something, and that's right. Definitely a red flag to watch for.
So, and he also talked about the issue of 30 days for the history and physical, which ties in for the indication of surgery. So what we've been finding, and I know he's been highlighting it for a number of organizations, is that their history and physical it might be timely, but it isn't very complete. And This ties into that indications for surgery. So he noted a number of situations where the history and physical was done so quickly, everything was within normal limits, and It didn't actually indicate that there was a problem that the patient was in for. So they might be in for a pain procedure, but there's no indication in the history and physical that they actually had any pain, which means that there were no indications for surgery, which means that they're outside of New York State requirements for that, as well as the requirements for comprehensive history and physical.
Yeah. You mentioned the med reconciliation. Always make sure you say if the patient is to resume, modify, or delete their medications. The immediate post-op note by the surgeon. Sometimes that's difficult to get.
Yeah, especially
that written up. It's very important.
And this is a national issue also, that if the procedure report or the operative report is not available immediately after the procedure, you do need to do an immediate post-op note, which just gives a summary of what will be in that operative report.
And I wanted to mention, he talked about the discharge instructions, making sure when you say, you know, in case of emergency or, you know, when to call the doctor, be very specific if you have, you know, this much bleeding or if the pain reaches this level or something. So the people really know when they really need to reach out for help, when it's an emergency, when they need to call the doctor and that kind of thing.
So there was also a New York State issues panel, as well as a CON update that I participated in with a number of individuals that are familiar with issues in New York State. And basically, what was talked about is that in New York now, the CON rule seemed to have loosened quite a bit, and it's a lot easier to get a CON today than it was many years ago. But the issue of limited life and the obligation for free care is one of the more difficult issues that people have to face. So in order to get a certificate of need approved in New York, you have to guarantee a certain level of free care that's being offered, as well as a certain amount of Medicaid volume. And you have 5 years to prove that you're going to do that. Otherwise, your license basically does not get renewed. And then if you do prove it, then you're able to get an indefinite life CON. So that makes New York quite unusual across the nation in terms of the way it looks at a certificate of needs. And one of the issues that we've had in New York is that given the very limited number of uninsured individuals in this state, especially outside of the major metropolitan areas, there is quite a bit of difficulty for many surgery centers to find uninsured individuals. Mm-hmm. So the state has been very good about that. They've been looking at it a little bit more broadly and understanding that if you're doing Medicaid patients, then that will more than make up for not meeting the requirements that you set forth in the original CON with regard to uninsured.
And doesn't it have a lot to do with the type of procedure as well? Sometimes you just don't, the procedures you're doing are not likely to be done on people that are, you know, doing just uninsured. Self-pay.
Yeah, that's exactly right, is that somebody that's doing a GI procedure is much more likely to find uninsured or Medicaid patients than such as orthopedic cases. Mm-hmm. There was a great session, Leadership 101. Ann Geyer, my dear friend, she did a session talking about leadership. You attended that one also, didn't you? And I moderated it a bit.
Yeah, that was a very good session. She talked a lot about human resources, and I think she really stressed trying to build a good, strong team. So she talked about, all the way from the start, providing the employee handbook right to begin with, making sure that you really review your policies and procedures, breaks, overtime, all those kind of things. Don't leave anything up in the air. Make sure people understand what's expected. She stressed that sometimes people have more than one job description. Make sure that you give them their job description and make sure if there's more than one job expected of them, that that's all really spelled out, you know, and that can prevent problems later on. One of the things that she pointed out that you don't hear a lot, I think, is really trying to be aware of any outside issues or stresses that your employees might have, not in a way of, you know, being nosy or, you know, questioning, but if you see people that seem to be struggling, you know, be willing to kind of work with them if they need some time off for family issues or, you know, if there's something you can do to be flexible, because then in the end, they're just going to be more loyal. You're going to get, you know, a lot better work out of people if people feel like they're able to balance that, you know, and they're not trying to work through some kind of a very stressful situation where you're really not getting good work out of them anyways.
Yeah, I think Anne's whole goal here is really talking about how important it is as a leader to grow your next generation of mm-hmm. leaders and to make sure that you have a happy workforce, which will generate a healthy and well-run operation. So yeah. This is her mission now, I know. And we're going to have Anne, I think, on our show in a couple weeks to talk about various issues.
Yeah, and she talked a lot about setting goals, which this was pretty amazing. She said when a nurse manager would start, they would sit down together, and she really set high goals for them from doing some public speaking, maybe writing an article or whatever, and she would set those out. And she said most, you know, the high percentage, I think everybody but maybe one or two had actually met those goals, and it's not something when people, you know, went into that job that they maybe ever thought that they'd be able to do. But yeah. So she seemed to be a big believer in setting those high goals for yourself and being able to reach those.
We should mention that Anne is the chief nursing officer over at SIS, Surgical Information Systems, our dear friends over there. The last session of the day was with myself and Jennifer Tuttle. I talked about the CMS update. Basically, I spoke about all the things that we've been talking about in the podcast, so we don't need to go over them here. But Jennifer did have an opportunity to talk a little bit about what was going on with the legislative issues in New York. She is our chief legislative person. And really kind of mentioned, as you're going to hear in an interview coming up, that there isn't a lot going on right now, knock on wood, legislatively, but the office-based surgery centers, OBSs in New York, have been trying to push to get the legislator to approve a facility fee. In other words, a mandate, basically, a facility fee for office-based surgery, which would be... not a very good thing for ASCs, because it would allow office-based surgery centers to basically be treated the same way a surgery center is without meeting those stringent requirements that we have. So we've been concerned for a long time that this would really have a detrimental effect on the quality of care in New York State, since the regulations wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, not just difficult for the ASCs, but I'd be concerned about the safety and not having to follow those.
Precisely, because there's no regulatory environment for office space. So that's an issue that seems to come back every couple of years, and we suspect it'll come back in this legislative session also. So we were able to do four interviews during the conference, and we're going to go into those next. Our first interview was with Jeffrey Flynn, and Jeffrey is the chair of the program committee and vice president of the association. And he's talking a little bit about this being the first time in New York City for the conference and the reasons why we're having it in New York City, as well as he talked a little bit about the sponsors and vendors. So let's listen to his interview.
So this is John Gailey. I'm here at the New York State Association of Surgery Centers Fall Conference at the Roosevelt Hotel. I have with me Jeffrey Flynn. Jeffrey is the vice president of the New York State Association and the chair of the program committee. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
So thank you for coming to speak with us today, and thank you for all the work that you did on the program committee. We want to hear a little bit about the program here. This is our first time in New York City, and that was quite a bit of a challenge in itself. So tell us a little bit about how we got where we are today.
Yeah. Well, one of the objectives of the organization as we went forward for this conference is that we were able to draw in a number of the downstate centers that very often have difficulty getting upstate. And our decision regarding these conferences is that we do need to hold one upstate and we need to hold one downstate, as we have two each year, so that if people are unable to get to both of them, they at least have a better chance of getting to one of them. Challenges with this conference, obviously, it's New York City, was finding a venue, more expensive of a venue. But we've also changed things where the vendors are now really supporting us in these conferences and getting in front of us. We all have to buy beds eventually. Beds age out. We all have tables and just other products. And it's also an educational process with the exhibits for different people to find out different products, what's new out there. And that's what we wanted to create, that circumstance, so that then the program could be supported so we could do a quality education program here.
Right. So how many vendors did we end up with and sponsors? Who are our big sponsors?
We ended up with 24 vendors. Our biggest sponsors this particular year would be SIS.
Surgical Information Systems.
Priority One, which is an IT company, Wright Medical Surgical Division, which they've just created. So they were very excited about coming to this conference to roll it out. And a number of other vendors, which I think everyone finds useful. We've increased the vendors from five more vendors from our conference in the spring. More importantly, I think it's great that we've had 13 more centers here than we had at our last conference. Right. But our last conference, we had about, I think, 12 centers additional from the previous conference before that. We really are in a growth mode in bringing everyone together, and that's the purpose of this conference, is to really try to bring everyone together. And as we look forward to our spring conference, which will probably be in Albany or Saratoga, strategically, that the upstate centers have their time at the beginning of the year, I think we still have that momentum of the vendors recognizing the value of being able to get in front of the surgery center administrator who's making those decisions, and they're now recognizing us to be able to do that through these conferences.
And we're also getting new centers that are under construction.
The most important thing, especially as new centers are coming in the state, at this conference alone, 50% of the attendees at this conference are not members of our association. Right. So we have a great opportunity to really build on that.
And I think, what were the statistics? We had 44 centers represented, 22 were members, 22 were not members.
Yes, exactly.
And how many people did we have show up?
We had we have 98 people here from those centers. So
incredible.
We're very impressed with that.
Yeah, good job. Very good. I know the hotel was a bit challenging. Last night we were at the board meeting and they had to cut a check What is that? What's a check? Certified check at that.
It was, I guess, in doing down here, it was just one of those things. Yeah. We had given them the deposits ahead of time. That's fine. But they wanted their final payment the day before.
Yeah.
And they only sprung that on us the night before that, oh, well, we can do a wire transfer of that. And it was like, everybody's already traveling. You're not getting a wire transfer done.
I don't think I've ever heard of anybody asking for a certified check in a long time now, especially in business relationships. But it's been a beautiful venue. It's been a wonderful place to be here. Thank you for finding a good venue not so far from your own surgery center.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
So thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you, John.
Bye.
Our second interview was with the new president of the New York State Association, John Van Valkenburg. John talks about the association, its role in the state, and the goals of trying to grow the association, as well as some of the legislative activities of the association.
John and I are at the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers Fall Conference at the Roosevelt Hotel. We are here talking to John Van Valkenburg, the president of the New York State Association.
Welcome, John.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you are the new president, and speaking as, like, I think I was president 20 years ago, I know what you're going through. Congratulations on your election. And just for our listeners, John has really taken the bull by the horns here and really gotten this organization moving along very rapid trajectory right now to try to kind of bring the interests of the downstate centers and the upstate centers together. So thank you, John, for all the work that you've been doing.
You're welcome.
So can you tell us a little bit about the New York State Association, the benefits of membership, and what our goals are for the next year?
Yeah, absolutely. So the New York State Association, for those that don't know, is made up of freestanding ambulatory surgery centers in the state of New York. Right now, there is 140 licensed surgery centers in the state of New York, but there is we have about 64 members, which has historically been the case. You know, we've identified that the industry is facing some opportunities and challenges, as they always have, but certainly a lot on the horizon. And we've recognized the need to have a seat at the table and to have a greater voice in shaping our future and the future of healthcare in New York State, and in really fitting that role. And for us to do that, it's important that we have a strong association, and it's important that we have a diverse association. So we set a goal to increase the size of the association, to get more of the downstate contingency involved, with advocacy and involved in idea sharing and, really everything we're doing here today. So
here we are in New York City at the Roosevelt Hotel. This is the first conference that we've ever had in the history of the State Association, directly here in Manhattan, actually. We've been outside the city, but never here in Manhattan. So can you talk a little bit about, why we're doing that, why we're down here for this?
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of like in the vein of what I was talking about before, the idea and the goal we have of bringing more ambulatory surgery centers into the fold and getting them involved in the organization. And we identified that a lot of those surgery centers that we haven't been involved in the past were located in the downstate area. And also, there's been a lot of new surgery centers, really, that have opened recently in the downstate area. And we really wanted to be able to reach out to those. And we felt the best way we could do that is by coming to them.
Right, to them.
And really having a meeting here, to be honest with you. So it was a little bit new for it. Like you said, we haven't done it before. There's challenges that exist for having a meeting like this.
And expenses.
Yes, and expenses relative to where we've done it in the past. But, we felt that it was worthwhile to do that and to come down and to see if we could get those people involved and really engage them. And I really think that we did that. The attendee list and the facilities that registered included a lot of non-member facilities.
Half the attendees here are non-members.
Correct. A lot of new facilities. Certainly facilities from throughout the state, but certainly a lot more of these downstate facilities than what we've seen in previous meetings. And, if we can engage them, bring them in, make them members, and make them really join our voice when we have to advocate for ourselves and for our surgery centers in New York, it's going to be a tremendous value. So we'll see. But I really think so far it's been really positive.
And it's certainly a beautiful venue. It's been really nice here.
Oh, gorgeous. This is a 30, for those who don't know anything about the Roosevelt, it's a 1930s style Art Deco hotel. Just really, the problem is that that room that we're in, for the general sessions is huge.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a little intimidating up there on the podium, I'll say.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when we were considering sites, you know, that was kind of, they said, well, this room is a little bit big. But, yeah, you know, we found that with the places we looked at, there were a lot of the rooms were either too small or too big. Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, when you factor in cost and everything like that, you know, but it's a beautiful room. And, right. and I think mm-hmm. it was a little bit intimidating, but it's not too hot in there, which is great. It's very comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think I've gotten used to it on the podium after being up there a couple times this morning.
So you also chair the legislative committee for the association. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the legislative challenges that we're facing in New York State right now?
Yeah. So, you know, right now, being as where things are, you know, an election year and obviously there's a lot of campaigning and things like that going on, there's not a lot of activity right now.
Thank goodness, and knock on wood.
I'm going to knock on wood. But there's not a lot of activity right now that involves bills that are concerned to us. That hasn't been the case, you know, historically right. over the last several years. But luckily, you know, we are in a quiet period right now, kind of. But again, that said, just because there's no direct threats doesn't mean, you know, it isn't really important to make sure we have our finger on that pulse and right. to make sure getting proactive about some of these things as some, to be honest with you, some very different and in some cases very radical ideas are being brought to the forefront with regards right. to healthcare in New York State. And, you know, I really think it's important that we're part of that conversation.
So thanks, John, for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, and thanks for being here, and thanks for your podcast. I know that provides a tremendous value to a lot of people in our industry, so I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Our pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next interview is with Cheryl Carpenter, the chair of the membership committee, who talks about the association's goals for membership and a special offer for new members. John and I are here at the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers Fall Conference at the Roosevelt Hotel, and we are here with Cheryl Carpenter, the secretary and chair of membership for the New York State Association.
Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's great. So so you chair the membership committee here, and a lot going on. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about what's happening with our membership in the association?
There is a lot going on. We are moving to improve membership. We're moving to take this organization, this association, to the next level. We currently have 64 facility members in New York State. There's about 140
open surgery centers.
Surgery centers in New York State at this point. And that number is going to be changing soon. And we need our membership to grow along with that membership for many reasons, some which John has talked about. And the benefits of membership are numerous, and some to benefit the new members coming on, because there's a wealth of experience to be had here.
Right.
The membership committee will be doing a drive in the next couple months.
And I think you have some exciting news about that, too.
We do. Anyone who has not been a member of this organization previously can reach out to us in the next couple months, become a member, and their 2019 membership fees will be waived.
Oh, that's great.
So.
Absolutely. And what we're hoping, I think, with that is that not only existing surgery centers that have never been a member, mm-hmm. but also the new ones that are under construction will reach out. And we all know that they're cash strapped in that stage, but mm-hmm. hopefully, even before you get your license, you know, call us up, become members. Definitely start attending the meetings so that you know what's going on before you you open those doors.
As we've mentioned a lot of times before, there's really no better resource than your state association. You know, to learn the ropes, to figure out how people handle all the problems that you're encountering as you start at a new place.
A new place, a new administrator. Mm-hmm. I was that person. The networking is invaluable.
Right. Absolutely.
It's huge.
So tell me about what's happening here. Did you say that we have people in attendance that are not members?
We do. And that was actually the goal of having this conference here at this point in time, at this location, was to see if it would help generate a little interest in the members that are in the city. We have 44 facilities represented. My understanding is that 22 of those facilities are non-members at this point in time. We're going to hope to rectify that by the end of the
That's right. Very good. So what do we do? Hopefully we're piquing the interest of people that are listening to the podcast. What do they do to become a member?
Actually, there's a number of things you can do because, you know, we're not that big of an organization right now, mm-hmm. and we're all interested in somebody who's not a member. So yeah. You can send an email to our state association email, which is nysaasc@gmail.com. We will send you a form. You'll be ready to go. You can reach out to any board member, and we will put a link on our website.
And we'll put a link on our podcast website for this episode, mm-hmm. too. So if you're listening to us, there'll be a link both for the email address and also for the website for the state association.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us, Cheryl.
Thanks for having
me.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue.
And our last interview was with Intelair, where we hear about the relationship that Intelair has with the New York State Association for group purchasing organization purchases.
This is John Gailey speaking from the New York State Association Ambulatory Surgery Center's Fall Conference at the Roosevelt Hotel in October 2018. And I'm here with Brian James, Senior Director of Non-Acute Care for Intelair, which is a group purchasing organization that has a relationship with the New York State Association. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, John. Appreciate being here.
So, first of all, tell us a little bit about, just for our audience that might not even be aware what a group purchasing organization or GPO is, tell us a little bit about what GPOs do for ambulatory surgery centers.
So, Intelair, just a little bit of a brief history, used to be called Amerinet, and we've been a national GPO for over 30 years. And really, the essence of a group purchasing organization is to align our contracts to our member spend that will drive savings to those facilities, and we help facilitate the connection to those contracts. And then it's basically how GPOs have been functioning for quite some time. And certainly, we look to transform kind of our strategy and focus in the future. But in essence, that's what GPOs do.
I like to think about GPOs as helping the little guy look like the big guys. I mean, we know the hospitals have huge purchasing opportunities, but I'm a little, you know, let's say I'm a little one-room ambulatory surgery center. How can I look like the big guy?
That's a great point. And, you know, we want to get more buying power for, again, the little guy, those that maybe aren't part of their independent. They want to remain independent and not mm-hmm. be purchased by another organization. So we allow the smaller facilities to gain more buying power. And it's going through the aggregation through our membership.
Right.
Intelair has about 100,000 members today. So that allows us some buying power that can be basically executed on. Right. Under the GPO organization.
So Amerinet has actually had a very long relationship. The predecessor in name
yes.
Had a long relationship with the New York State Association, going back to actually when I was president of the association.
Yep.
That had kind of went by the wayside for a while, but now you're back in it with a new relationship right now. So tell us a little bit about what Intelair is going to do with us.
So Intelair's focus, and as we are in other states as well, doing the same type of relationships, but really what we want to achieve is a true partnership between the association as well as its members. And we're going to provide, really the focus is trying to drive a win-win-win for all parties, facilities gaining savings, organization hopefully supporting that through a revenue share. I guess it's always been, we felt like we have a good relationship with the state.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really almost like a relaunch and re-energizing and recommitting to really what the charter's been all along.
Right.
But it does take two to tango. So certainly we can only go so far and to draw benefit to the facilities, but it's really through that interaction that is really where the magic happens.
So the benefit of working with Intelair is going to be it's cost savings for the surgery centers, share back at the end of the quarter.
Correct.
In other words, you get cash back based upon the volume of sales that you have.
Twice a year.
Right. Yep. Twice a year, sorry. And then also there's going to be a benefit for the state association that as part of the funding of the state association will come through some share backs coming
Correct.
From you. So this is a win-win-win for everybody.
It is. And I think that's usually where partnerships work best, where everyone's got a stake in the relationship, but also has some skin in the game to benefit the overall organization as well.
Sure. So this is going to be one of the benefits of membership in the New York State Association, which, by the way, we just announced in the podium today mm-hmm. That we are giving free membership for 2019 for anyone that is not currently a member of the state associators and not been a member of the New York State Association. And of course, places that are under construction, those are ideal places to get in there right from the very beginning. So I, all of our listeners, if you're in New York State and you've never been a member, this is the time to join. You get a full year of membership plus the advantage of the relationship with Intelair.
Yeah, I think the timing's good. You know, one other thing I wanted to point out is out of that 100,000 members that Intelair has, about 3,500 are surgery centers.
Yeah.
Now, what we call a surgery center versus the industry, you know, there may be still some discrepancies
there. Like office
there.
Space sometimes.
Correct. But it does show that this is really one of our core competencies, right. Intelair. And really the non-acute space is where we excel because we have dedicated resources in the field driving the engagements at the member level. And we've been very much a member-driven organization. Some of our best solutions actually comes from, so when we do cost studies, it comes from the things that they're buying. We start taking the big data from all of our members and start analyzing it. All right, so we see some common things here that, hey, maybe we can get a contract for that. I think it's very member-driven,
right.
Which I think is unique in the industry. And certainly we gain some of our best practices through our membership, as well as our owner, Intermountain Healthcare, out in Salt Lake City.
So let's talk just very briefly about what's the process of analyzing. You can analyze the data that a surgery center has of their current expenses and be able to determine what type of cost savings. How do you do that?
So in a lot of different ways, a lot of analytic tools that we have, but really at the forefront of that is we have a third-party data analytics part of our company called Diagnostics. So there's a firewall there. So all the data that's coming in certainly comes in very confidentially. But the process starts with the data collection. There's certain types of information that are needed. And we let the member know we need these fields of information in order to complete the study. But really, in essence, we can do two things. We can do a supplier contract match report, which is really just kind of boiling the ocean of all the things you spend money on. We can see if it's a direct match with our contract portfolio. Mm-hmm. And then really more specifically doing a specific cost study on one of the categories, med-surg, pharmacy, mm-hmm. office supplies. So that's really where the process starts. But we do all the heavy lifting as far as gathering the data, submitting it, and then we share the results directly with the member. We're very transparent. Where we can benefit you, we'll outline that. Where we're probably not so good, we'll also identify that as well.
And I think an important point we need to make is we're not talking pennies here.
No.
I mean, we're talking significant dollars. I mean, I saw some statistics in this morning, which you introduced to the crowd in the 20-30% range.
That's
easily, actually, in most cases, right? If you have no GPO relationship right now.
And I think, in fact, right after the meeting broke up, we had two facilities come up to us right away, and they're not even part of a GPO.
Yeah.
And I think that's common, obviously, in the hospital market.
They know about it.
They know about it. I think in the ambulatory world, I think a lot of them are belonging to GPOs, but I guess there's two things, belonging to a GPO, and then are you working with your GPO?
That's been my experience over the years, too, is that you get very excited about it in the beginning. You spend a lot of time with the GPO to get it moving, and then you kind of forget they're there. And that, sometimes people go out and say, oh, I'm just going to buy this product from somebody else without knowing that it's something that, if you did a little bit more, make a few more phone calls to the GPO, you'd better get a better deal on that.
And I also know that we've seen this in the last few years, the movement towards Amazon and trying to look outside of their typical channels.
Right.
I think certainly that's still the strength of a GPO is we have the data capabilities and connecting them to the proper contracts. But it does take, it's a two-way street, and we find that those that engage with us the most get the most benefit out of it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you very much, John.
Thanks.
So we're really enjoying doing these special state association podcasts, and I think they've been pretty popular with our listeners. What are your thoughts, John?
Absolutely. We've done quite a number of them. New York State Association, we've done two actually for them, the New Jersey Association, Ohio, California. All of them have proven to be quite popular with people in that state. And it's been a good marketing tool for the association as they try to provide their members with information about how successful the organization has been in the past year.
And I think anything that we can do to promote the state associations and let people know how to join in and what the benefits are is great, because, you know, that's, as we talked about the different legislative things, a unified voice is always really helpful.
Absolutely. And of course, these are people that are a lot closer to every surgery center than the national organization is. So it's important that we support these state associations and encourage their growth. We provide the service to association. There's no charge. All we ask is that we have a place to do some recording, which usually is a separate room. And we don't, as I said, we don't make any charge for it. So if you're interested in more information about having us do a special podcast for your association meeting, please contact us at info@ascpodcast.com. Well, that's it for this edition of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey. Join us again next week for our regular biweekly podcast. And spread the word about our podcast with your friends and colleagues, and do us the honor of hitting the subscribe button. Thank you.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute, legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development. All rights are reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsor, the New York State Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers, the voice of ASCs in New York State. For membership information, please visit www.nysaasc.org. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring with the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.